We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
So, Naomi, you should put that on your website.
Yeah, maybe
we'll, I know. We'll make you want to fire your therapist.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host, Erica. Erica, we are a week out from being back from our Greece trip. I finally feel like I'm back in the swing of things, but also that means we're no longer on vacation.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I'm back in work mode. But I have been a lot better about the work-life balance, personally. I feel like I was a little Europe-inspired, let's say.
I totally agree. And I also think I've done a much better job coming back from vacation this time at getting my sleep schedule back on track. Have Sunset Lake CBD to thank for that, really. Their sleep gummies with the melatonin. You know, I was using that time shifter app, and one of the things it recommends when you're getting onto the new time zone is taking melatonin when you sleep. Those gummies are just lifesavers for me.
Yeah, and all the girls on the trip were talking about it in the group chat. A bunch of people took it for their plane ride, and it helped them sleep and get back on schedule. So everyone also, I don't know if this is bad to say or good to say, a lot of people were like very surprised how well they work.
And how effective, yeah.
Yeah, help you not only get like stay asleep, because that's usually what people take melatonin for, but get to sleep. So I definitely took one on the plane there and back. And I mean, you know, I've always been a fan. So
yeah, I'm a huge fan. I also like that other sleep aids that I've tried make me groggy when I wake up. And Sunset Lake CBD really doesn't, especially if I'm not able to get that much sleep. Like, you know, I can only get 6 or 7 hours, which for me is not enough. But I don't feel groggy, even if I wake up earlier than I would want to.
Yeah, I've never had any post feeling either after I wake up.
No, it's great. So if you want to try it for yourself, you can go to sunsetlakecbd.com. Use our promo code FMH2020. You can get 20% off all of their products, not just the sleep gummies.
Yeah, it's very clutch for travel. So get to it.
Yeah, so big week. Big week.
Big week. Big week. Last week you were frustrated on the publicist communication. So
Yes.
I'm sure everybody wants the update on that.
Yeah. So I continue to be frustrated. I also, don't let me forget, I also want to update. I finally got my fucking pair ring in the mail.
Oh, yeah. I saw you post
about
that.
So, yeah, I won't bury the lead on the publicist. We'll start there. But don't let me forget. I do want to tell the people about the pair ring.
Pair ring.
So last week, you know, throughout the Greece trip and then also in the days after we got back, was feeling really frustrated about the communication with the publicist and feeling like, you know, we talked about it last week, like I was going 90 and I was barely getting 10, right? Mm-hmm. And I was hoping in coming back that I would see some of that reciprocation. Like we were saying on the recording, like I really wanted to have him meet me halfway and suggest when we were going to hang out and, you know, reestablish our connection, et cetera. And that didn't happen. Mm. And I was thinking about it and I just, the space that lack of communication gave me, that space allowed me to think more, or not allowed me, but like enabled me, whatever, got me thinking more about pieces of incompatibility that I had already been thinking about, things that like you and I had discussed that I'd been talking about with my close friends that I will say up top, we said it on the Patreon because the patrons have known this update for over a week now. It might feel frustrating to you listening to this as somebody who is not you, Erica, but you, the listeners.
yeah, not me, because I know. Suck it.
Because you know.
Sorry, everybody.
You can join the Patreon for more details, or you can be Erica for even more details.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Anyway, so it might feel frustrating hearing this because there are details of our ultimate incompatibility that I am not sharing publicly for both of our privacy purposes, and also just because it's like no one did anything wrong in being incompatible in these ways, like, and you know, and it's just we're not compatible people. I guess I've kind of buried the lead that I did end things, but I'll get to it. But I do want to acknowledge that, because I know people want the details, and I would too. And there's just some details that are going to be kept to me. And just, you know, I hope that people know and trust that there's a very good reason for that. And it's, you know, we are both real people living our real lives, and you know, they're just, that's what I have to say on that, I guess.
So basically, I remember last week we recorded and you were sitting there, and because I said I would have been even more stubborn than you, I don't even know if I would have reached out, and not saying that's the best tactic, everybody listening, okay? But you were talking to him, and basically I felt like you were waiting for him to say, like, oh, so what do you got going on tomorrow? Right. Or let's get together sometime, some plan. Because the man's been good at planning the whole time.
Very.
And then we felt a shift.
Yeah. So I wanted to, like, just kind of up top be like, you know, the space, so he didn't do that, and he wasn't doing that. And that gave me a lot of space to think about, okay, this thing that I really liked is gone. This consistency, this, you know, secure attachment vibe from him is gone. And that gave me more space and more time to think about the pieces of compatibility that I had already been sort of questioning, but that were like far outweighed by, or not far away, but had at the time been outweighed by like other pieces of our connection. So he didn't do that. And I, over the course of the next several days after we recorded that episode, came to the conclusion that the other pieces of incompatibility that I had been grappling with were too important, and that, like, I didn't want to continue to try to work through what our communication might look like. And, like, kind of trying to work through figuring out, you know, oh, is he going to ask me to hang out? Or, like, should I do that? Like, I ultimately was like, you know what? This doesn't feel good. And, like, if this were the only thing, then maybe it would be something. It probably would be something that I would, like, want to talk about and work through. But, like, given the other things that I was already kind of grappling with about whether we were long-term compatible, this is it for me.
I don't know if it's rude for me to ask, but I feel like with literally the space of you were gone 2 weeks and then the space this past week, was there kind of something along the lines of not feeling this strong urge of wanting to see him and maybe not, I don't know, missing him as much as maybe you thought you would?
Yeah, well, that's part of it for sure. Like, because the other, yeah, because I think I'm trying to, like, conceptualize how to say this, because I was not, let's put it this way. I was bothered by the lack of communication. Absolutely. But I also then, like, my mind immediately was like, well, this is now kind of bringing up some of the other things that, like, I don't know if this makes us, like, totally long-term compatible. And I don't think my mind goes there if I was just in the place of, like, man, I really want to talk to him. I really want to see him when I get back. Like, that wasn't where my head was at. And that, you're right. Like, that was totally part of it. And we video chatted, right? And I loved seeing him. Like, I really enjoyed that video chat, like I talked about before. Like, that was really, really great. But it didn't negate all of those other feelings.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard people talk about kind of, you know, those breaks of vacations and stuff like that are very telling for both people.
Yeah.
Because as you said, you felt like he also kind of pulled back. So maybe he also was sitting there going, oh, that was really fun and we were having a great time, but I don't have this, like, I don't know. I don't want to say excitement because,
like,
that sounds
like pull
mean
toward
but
this person.
Yeah, like this feeling of, like, I can't wait for them to get back. And you know, you went on how many dates? Like 8, 9?
I
lost count.
Nine, like hangouts. I don't know if I'd call them all dates.
Right. But, you know, we talked about it of, like, you essentially hit the quote 12 date matchmaker Maria rule.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing long dates and talking a lot and calling each other. So it's like, okay, to be at that point, you should be the fuck yes, as we say.
Completely. Yeah. And up until then, I think the way that I had been approaching it was more like, I don't think I need to know yet. Like, I don't think I need to know. And I still don't think I needed to know that I was going to like marry the dude. Right. But like, I was still kind of in that point where I was like, I don't think I need to know if I want this person to be my boyfriend quite yet.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. Like the place that I kind of got to when we were away was like, I think I want to know. Like I, at this point in, not necessarily from a time perspective, but like, you know, not because, oh, it's been 6 weeks or, oh, but just the amount of time that I've spent with this person, the like level of deep conversations that I've had with this person, like, I think I do want to know if I want to date them exclusively. Again, not saying like, oh, I need to know that I'm going to marry them, because I don't think that's possible for me specifically at that point. But like, I did, I got to that point where I was like, yeah, I'm still not sure. And I think for me that that feels like an issue.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good to not be sure.
No.
Both and on your end or the other person's end, you know?
Right. And up until then, I was truly at peace with not being sure. I was like, this is great. I'm exploring a connection. I really like hanging out with him. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't left, who knows if that, how much longer that would have continued. I do think ultimately the pieces of long-term compatibility that I was talking about wouldn't have gone anywhere. Like those would have been true, but I think it probably would have taken me longer to get there had I not had that space to realize like, oh yeah, like I don't, this isn't this like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see this person feeling that I want to have.
Yeah. And obviously I don't want to like speak for you or push you one way or the other, but you know, I did say this on the Patreon. I kind of felt it from you.
Yeah.
I was like, I just, you're not sold. And I don't know what it is that you're not sold. And a lot of times we don't even know ourselves. You're like, this is a great person. This is a wonderful person. And we have no bad things really to say about this man whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do wish he handled our communication while I was gone a little bit better. But like, you know, it doesn't make him a bad person at all.
No, not at all. And also it's like, okay, what? I don't know how many weeks, 6 weeks. It's like 6 weeks of consistency. Then 1 week where you're like, this feels weird.
Right.
Whatever. But ultimately it's like great person, not the person for me. And we've all been in that situation where you're on a date being like, why am I not into this?
Yeah.
And there's no hard reason to find to not be into this person.
Yeah. So that's where I had gotten to. And I was like, it, as I was thinking, because we were still talking, like texting, you know, whatever, but nobody had brought up seeing each other. And I'm like, I could keep doing this. Or I could just call it because I'm feeling like that's where we're at. And do I want to continue to like drag out this conversation with somebody, whether or not he's feeling the same thing or not? If he's not, I absolutely don't want to drag it out. But if he is, then like, are we playing chicken? Like, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So few days after we recorded, so a few more days of like talking, but like not that consistently and like no mention of seeing each other, I texted and asked if he had time to talk on the phone that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he had previously not mentioned this to me, but he was having like a very, very busy week at work. Like he doesn't have his phone, literally doesn't isn't allowed to have his phone doing what he was doing.
Okay.
During the day. And so he was on, he like texted me when he was like having lunch or something and was able to be on his phone. And then he was like, he's like, I'm about to put my phone away again, but like, yes, I should be home at this time, whatever. And he's like, this week has been absolutely insane, et cetera, et cetera. And I, in my head, I'm like, I would have understood that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if going into the week of not that much communication, if he'd been like, hey, I'm about to go into this thing and I'm not going to be at my phone like all day, every day, which like I would have gotten that, like just say something. Right.
Yeah. I mean, so, I tell people when, you know, like I said, if I go abroad, I'm like, I'm often on airplane mode and I don't have data on for my stuff. So right. I'm going to be a real delayed response. And people are like, okay, Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. Like, all you have to do is just like say like one sentence. One sentence would have taken care of all of our communication issues. Mm-hmm. So I went into this conversation thinking that he was on the same page as me of ending things, because in my head, I'm like, this man has been such a good communicator. If the only reason he was distant was truly because of work, feels like he would have said that, mm-hmm. like up front. So I was going into this conversation thinking that like I was just going to say what we were both thinking.
I mean, I think it's a big thing to assume, honestly. Because like, I know you're going to probably hate what I'm about to say.
Oh, okay.
You know how people say the like one who loves more in relationships?
Yeah. Like, tell me more about
that. Like, I've dated people and then people pointed out to me, they're like, Erica, you were the one that loved more in that relationship. You were the more invested. You were the more into it than the other person. And like, it never balanced out. Let's just say it that way. All right.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Your relationship with this guy or dating this guy, I think it was very clear. Like, he was the one that loved more. Maybe it wasn't clear from your perspective, but like from my perspective, I felt like he was more into it than you were. Nothing wrong with that. But that's why I was like, yeah, I don't think he would be so quick to call it, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I won't speak on the first part because I know.
I'm like, I figured you're not going to like that saying. And I have mixed feelings about it, I'll be honest. But there is something to like seeing a couple and maybe not, let's say, loves more. But like some advice I've gotten from people is they're like, oh, you want people to like meet you and really feel like your partner really adores you and loves you. And obviously vice versa. But there's something to being around people. And it's like, I think maybe it's just more apparent when you see the woman not like it being the one that loves more. Sorry. And I've had that. And it's just like very obvious where it's like, you're very into this. This person's kind of, you know, I don't want to say like jerking you around, but it almost feels that way where you're like, hey, why isn't this a little more reciprocated? I'm not saying that's how I felt on the thing. Just in general, I was like, from day one, I just felt, I'm like, wow, this guy really, really is into Allie and really is also on board with everything that you do. And that's a big on paper thing for you and for I, that is very hard to find in someone. So that also, you know, it's hard to think of. But I would guess he would be like, oh, let's work through whatever the issue is. But you hit the point. You were like, I think this is done.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason that I went in thinking that he was going to be on the same page is because I've had this experience before where I feel somebody pulling away. And it turns out to be because they were just trying to slow fade me.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
And like play chicken with me and get me to break up with them so that they don't have to be the bad guy.
Right. Or
like,
I mean, it's something I've felt this where I'm like, you can't just break up with someone out of nowhere. They got to like kind of see it coming. Like you feel less mean if you're almost like given little hints along the way. Does that sound crazy?
A little bit.
You know, like, or it's almost like you text them like, hey, can we talk tonight? And that gives a signal of like something is up.
Yeah. So I think it's my past experiences that brought me into it thinking he was going to be on the same page, because like I've had multiple experiences throughout my life. And I think a lot of people listening can probably relate where like kind of like you said about last week that I thought was really apt about how the onus should be on the person who's upset to say something. But oftentimes I think especially as women who date men, this comes up a lot where you'll feel like the other person is upset or pulling away, but like they don't say anything about it and you have to be the one to bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's happened to me before. So I think like that was my mindset kind of going in. I was like, okay, I think we're both on the same page and like one of us just has to say something and like it'll be me. So we have this conversation. You're correct that I truly do think he ultimately, maybe even soon, was going to get to the place I got in terms of our long-term compatibility.
Yeah, maybe he was thinking, let's hang out, or go out a few more times and feel it out. Because you didn't see him, you know, in what, 3 weeks at that point?
It had been 3 weeks by the time we had this conversation. Yeah. Right. So I do think he ultimately would have gotten there, but he was at the time in the conversation at a place of, he did tell me that he had, in his words, freaked out a little bit at like, I don't know, not necessarily, he specifically said it wasn't because of how fast we were moving, because like we weren't moving that quickly. Mm-hmm. But more so, I think he's had those experiences in the past of moving really quickly. And I think it just made him a little nervous, and he reacted in a way that he wishes he hadn't, in terms of like his communication. Again, these are his words. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to work through that. Like, he was like on the other side of it in a sense, or like wanted to come onto the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to him, I was like, you know, do you think that, because I'd already kind of said my piece about some of my long-term compatibility questions. And I said, like, do you think some of that was because you were also grappling with these things of like, is this not right?
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, so we had a really, it was an hour long conversation. It was a really good conversation. We both have like a lot of respect for the other person. He said some like really, really kind things about, you know, the qualities that he likes about me, and I, you know, similar to him. And, you know, something that I also really appreciated that in the absence of it, this podcast didn't mention it once.
Mm, okay.
Like zero factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I already knew that in my heart of hearts because of how open he and I had been about it. And because like I knew that he was comfortable with every single thing that I've ever shared because I've talked to him about it.
Yeah. He helped you film some of your stuff.
Literally helped me make things. And like, I actually had to involve him less than he even like, I cut him out of things that he would have absolutely been in. Right. So I knew in my heart of hearts that wasn't a factor, but it was also just really validating to have him like, he actually did kind of tangentially, ugh, that's not even the right pronunciation, whatever. He did actually kind of like secondhand mention it, because one of the things that he said that he really admires about me is how open and vulnerable I am, not only with him, but with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated that. But I say all of this to say that like you mentioned that it's not every day that you come across somebody that is going to embrace what I do, what you do,
yeah,
with like open arms. And it was just really nice and validating to see this really great person who's ultimately not great for me, but still like an amazing person, such a great catch,
mm-hmm.
who does embrace that, and knowing, okay, that means that I will find that again with somebody who is the right match for me.
Yeah, it takes a very confident person to date someone that is very public about their life in any way.
For sure.
Because it's like very easy to have anxieties of like, what are they going to say, or what are they going to tell other people? So I think that just shows he was a very like secure and confident person in himself. And
yeah,
obviously, like I said before, with the loves more, it's like this feeling of like, I did feel like he really, you know, adored you. And I think that's what made me a fan of him, and also the listeners a fan of him, is it felt like, oh, Allie's finally got her guy that really is treating her well and like putting you on a pedestal a little bit in a good way. That it's like, wow, yeah, he really, really is all about her. And the no inconsistency and, you know, all the other stuff we could compare to like past guys. But like that is what you want with your friends, right? But like I said before, that's easy from the outside to go, well, this guy's amazing and you should be with this guy, but I'm not the one in the relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, like, I appreciate that perspective, because you're right. I do want someone who adores me, and I want to adore them right back.
Exactly.
And, you know, I want that. And it's a balance. I think it ebbs and flows. And but yeah, that's absolutely what I want. And I think I'm framing it. It made me very sad to end things, not because I was questioning whether it was the right thing, but because it's a great person. You know, and like, it just sucks when something ends and no one did anything wrong. It made me very sad to end it, but I'm also really heartened and hopeful from meeting him and dating him mm-hmm. that like I will meet somebody else who adores me in that way and that I adore in that way. And that is, you know, a long-term match for me. So
yeah, I think it's great to finally, not finally, but it's always great to experience someone that raises the bar in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And also on top of it, this is someone you met online on a dating app.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess, a little lesson for all of us of like, there are great people on these apps. There are. Yeah. It often feels like there aren't, but it's like there are. At the end of the day, there are many, many good men. And I think of this situation with the publicist. I think of like my sister has a great guy that she met on Hinge in New York City. Like, because I myself feel it all the time. I'll be on the app like, this just feels like it's never going to work for me. So it is nice to finally hear some stories where it's like, hey, this was a random person from an app and turns out they were a great man. It ended up not being the man for me, but it gives you more hope, I guess, to keep trying in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said this early when I was first dating him. It just takes one good date. Like, literally on the heels of our dating app fatigue, I think by the time our dating app fatigue episode came out, I had already been on my first date with him.
Right. And it just completely shifts your energy.
Completely. It's like, man, a week ago, I was listening back to the episode being like, man, a week ago, I was in such a dark place on the apps and feeling so annoyed and fatigued and overwhelmed and et cetera. And then one good date.
Mm-hmm. That's all it takes, one.
Yeah. So yeah, that is a wrap on the publicist. And yeah, that's that. There's I will get to the pair ring. I haven't forgotten, but not a whole lot of other guy updates. Mr. Chaotic is still like in the mix. We did text when I was in Greece, like I talked about before. We were like trying to make a hangout work while we were overlapping in New York and it didn't. Honestly, I don't know if our lifestyles are compatible. Like, he is all over the place. And obviously, mm-hmm. I've been traveling a lot too, but normally I'm traveling more now than I typically am.
Yeah.
He is he's quite literally not, he lives in two different cities in the sense that he has an apartment in the other one.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's how often he's not here. And there's also a third city that he goes to often for work. So
it's tough.
It could be okay if I were dating that person. Like, if I was in a relationship with that person, I could make that work.
Yeah, but it's hard to build to that point.
Yeah,
exactly. Literally not here.
Right. Like, getting to know someone in early dating when they're in your city, like, sporadically is really hard.
Really tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see with that one, I guess.
Yeah. We shall. And I'm on the apps. I mean, I was already on them. I never left, but I've updated them with some Grease photos, did a few new prompts. I don't have any conversations going now, but I'm hopeful.
I have a question. So we had, if the people were at the live show, they know we had Jared Fried critique our profiles.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you change anything based on Jared's advice? I'm curious.
Did I change anything based on Jared's advice? So he saw my Bumble. So I'm trying to think about, I mean, I changed out pictures, but he didn't have any critique on the pictures for either of us, actually.
Yeah. But it answers, we had a couple critiques. I actually did shift some of mine.
Oh, you did? What did you change?
I did. So one thing I put, and I thought this would be enticing to a conversation, was that I just moved to LA.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, right.
He was like, sometimes men will see that and think like, oh, they need a tour guide and it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, and I mean, I think later, that sometimes when I see it.
Right. And I thought later after the show, I was like, well, but that's the thing about New York is there is like a lot of tourist stuff to do. In LA, I don't feel that. It's like, see the Hollywood sign and hike Runyon Canyon and that's all I got. Like,
yeah, like in New York, people might think that you're going to want them to take you to like the Statue of Liberty and the Empire State Building and shit like that.
Or navigating around in New York because it's not, you get in your car, you put in a GPS and you drive.
GPS. Yeah.
It's like navigating the subway system. There's a lot more hecticness to New York. So
yeah, very true.
I was like, maybe that's why, you know, Jared lives in New York. But I took that advice. I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe he has a good point. So I just, I put, since I'm back and forth, I changed like the very bottom of my bio to have a little pin. And I say comedian between New York City and LA.
Oh, I love that.
Because I'm in New York a little bit longer than I anticipated this time. I'm back in LA mid-July now. So
yeah.
I did that and then I changed. Oh, This I thought was hilarious because it didn't come across this way to me. I had an answer about like, I'll be a great plus one at a wedding because, and I said, I can eat anything, I can dance, and I'm not afraid of your mom. And he was like, I feel like you want to fight my mom. what's funny is I actually put that there because so many guys are afraid of this like mom-daughter relationship. And I thought it was in a good way where I'm like, I'm not like weird about meeting parents. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get nervous. I'm not going to be all like up in your shit. Like, it's like, yeah, I'll talk to your mom with you there or without you there. I don't care. But, that was something that through the male lens, I appreciated the insight of us. Like,
yeah, I saw what he was saying when he said that.
Right? Which I was like, oh, okay. I just thought it was like a fun thing.
So I just went to my Bumble to see. I switch out. I have a couple different versions of my bio that I switch out. And so I did switch to a different version of it. But not necessarily because of his feedback, because I just like switch it out. But I added, he was talking about, so he liked, one of the sentences I have in my bio is, I'm an instant yes to fruit pie, gin cocktails, and overly competitive game nights. Mm-hmm. And then I added, he was talking about wanting me to like get more specific.
Yeah.
I pivoted a little bit from that and I said, which one should we try for our first date?
Okay, fun. All right.
So I don't know, took his advice, but I like listened. I like pivoted a little bit based on what he said. I was like, oh, okay, let me like double click on that part of it because he liked that part of it. And then it's funny that you took out your plus one prompt because I added a plus one prompt.
Oh, I just changed my answer.
Oh, what'd you change it to?
What did I change it to? I think I made it. I actually took exactly what he said as the suggestion because I was like, I don't really want to think about this. I changed it to adding like, I know where to stand for the hors d'oeuvres coming out. Like,
wait, I added something really similar. Oh, did you?
We're both like, all right, Jared, we'll take the advice. We'll take it point
blank. I said, I'm a great plus one because I'll make friends with the cocktail hour servers and get us first dibs on everything.
That's a great way to phrase it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think I kept the I can dance part and I took out the eat part because it's like, I don't need two things about eating.
Yeah, makes sense. So yeah, and then I kept he liked my other two prompts. I kept them. But, and then I switched out. This is the first time. So I made my profile picture, this picture of me in Greece.
Oh, from the winery. Very pretty.
This is the first time though that I've ever had my main profile picture with my naturally curly hair.
Oh, and I assume you have a mix through your profile. Though.
I do. I do have a mix.
Yeah, because you wear it both ways. I love your hair curly, by the way. I really like
thank
it.
Thank you.
And it's also maybe more accurate for the summer, if that's your first picture.
True. I do it more over the summer. I like it too. I love my hair curly. My issue with it is that I've tried every method that anybody has ever DM'd to me. If you've tried it, I've tried it. Trust me. I cannot get it to look the exact same. And that's just the nature of curls, I think.
Yeah, I have the same problem when I do mine.
It looks different every time. And for that reason, I don't trust it as much.
Like for a first date?
Or for like any time when I want to look good. Like, I know that if I know exactly what it's going to look like when I straighten it.
Right.
And curly, I could get to a point where I just have to put it up because it doesn't look the way I want. And part of that is probably letting go of my need for my curls to be perfect because that's just the nature of curls. So I'm working through that. But that's one of the reasons why I don't do it quite as much is because I just can't trust them.
But funny, that's why I feel a lot of guys like curls is because it gives this like fun, bounce, more go with the flow, like feeling.
Yeah, true. So. And then the other piece of it, just from a practical perspective, is that my straight hair lasts a lot longer.
Like you don't have to rewash it.
I don't have to rewash, or I don't have to like redo it.
Yeah.
Like I have to like deal with my curls the next day. I don't really have to when my hair is straight. Anyway, that's an aside. So yeah. So back on Bumble. And also I do want to continue our mantra of the year of trying to meet more people in person. And so one of the things that I did in an effort to do that is I tried the pear ring, P-E-A-R, like the fruit. That I personally have seen all over social media, like targeted ads, not people actually wearing it.
Yeah, because you were in like, is it the first ship out of New York? Because I've heard of many people ordering it, but not getting it yet. Okay.
It took forever. I mean, when did we talk about that? It's been months.
Well, I would assume they're trying to do it in the same batch, because the theory is like, if you put it on, you start wearing it and you get no action quickly, you're probably going to stop.
So, hi, it's me. I have never one time seen anyone wearing it out, men or women, anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking. Like, right. Once I bought it, I was like, okay, I want to see. Now it's on my radar. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one person wearing it. I have been wearing it. I got it like a week ago. I've been wearing it anytime I go out. Like, I don't. It comes with three sizes. So let me say this too. I was a little underwhelmed by the package.
Oh, really? Would it just look like an Amazon bag or something?
Yeah, it was just like a little cardboard postcard practically that was like, this is the okay. pairing.
Okay. Do what you do. Carry on.
Carry on. Yeah, here's your ring. And yeah. like, there's no, like, I knew that there wasn't anything further beyond just go wear it. Like, there's not an app. There's not really a website. I mean, there is, but like the website basically just says this is the pair ring.
Right.
They are talking about doing events, which I think could be cool in the future, but haven't seen anything about those actually happening yet. So it comes with three sizes. I've yet to really find a size and finger that it feels truly comfortable on. Mm-hmm. So that's like, but I have been wearing it. I've tried it on various fingers, been out. I mean, I've never seen anyone wearing one, so no one's come up to me. Nothing's happened, but I'm still out there with my ring. Long story short is I don't really recommend it.
Yeah, as of right now, no traction. If anything, I feel like this ring might get you more women talking to you, because I've had so many female friends see this ring and also send it to me, obviously, because we have this podcast. But just like, have you heard about this? Or people doing this? I'm thinking about getting one. So it oddly might be a thing that maybe will lead to female friendships.
Yeah, like solidarity.
They'll be like, wow, I thought about getting that. How's it work? You know?
Yeah.
Is it working for you?
Yeah. So yeah, so far, no. I mean, it was like, I think it was $25. So like, well, for me having this podcast, well worth the expense of being able to buy it and talk about it to people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would recommend anybody.
I
but
mean,
I think
it's been a week. It's only been a week. So, yeah, well, you've only been back in New York a little. So,
the fact that I didn't see a single person wearing one in the like 2 months since I bought it.
Right. But I'm saying you're part of like the second shipment. So, maybe.
Yeah, true. Maybe all the rings are now flooding.
I say you
got to
give it a few weeks, maybe even a month.
Yeah. I'm still wearing it. I haven't given up.
But I genuinely feel like a lot of women are going to approach you and be like, I saw that ring. What's up with that ring? Maybe. How's it working for you?
Yeah, possibly. Anything on your end?
I only have one little thing of, I met up with a friend, we were catching up, and she asked me about the Subway guy, aka Ruby Rosa.
Ruby Rosa.
Like, wow, guess I haven't seen you in a while. And it didn't end badly, it's just like, we never re-talked, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, he was moving to New York, I wonder if he even moved yet. And so I ended up just sending him a text like, hey, did you move to New York yet? Like, what's the update? And he said he just moved, just got back, finally found an apartment. And then we just talked back and forth. And he was like, are you still, you know, performing at the Cellar a lot? I got to come see a show. And I was like, yeah, I'm there all week. You know, let me know or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I got to come by soon. I was like, yeah, great. And I mean, that was the end of the conversation. Neither made we didn't really make a play of like, let's have our little dinner hang again. And I'm not bummed whatsoever about it. I was more like, this sounds mean, but texting him, I kind of was like, oh yeah, you're kind of boring. like, you know, like I was like, I think this was kind of a situation where I was like, oh, you were tall and very cute. And I was, you know, obviously into that. And then I guess had much lower expectations, as most women do with the tall men. Let's admit it. A little bit of conversationally, I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm missing anything. That's how I felt texting him. I was like, oh, okay.
Well,
yeah,
now
sure.
You know.
Come to a show. Yeah.
Confirmation.
I was just like, all right, I guess that's telling. So that's the only thing I had. I did end up swiping a little bit recently. Mm. But it's...
How'd that go?
I mean, I've got a handful of matches. I just haven't messaged yet exactly. But I don't know. I've oddly been tempted actually to swipe down the shore and just be in a different pool, because that's where I'm staying now when I'm on the side of New York. And obviously, I get a handful of people that just like come down here for the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a little inspired or thought about it. Obviously, actually from Matchmaker Maria's stories. She was saying, hey, if you've been dating in New York a long time, she's like, expand your apps. Go to Long Island. Open them to Jersey. Like, Westchester. Like, there's all these places that, you know, honestly, especially New York dating, my God, you could so easily have an hour commute to see someone that it's like, what's the difference between an hour in New York on the train versus if I had to drive, you know, 30 minutes or something down here?
And it feels so much longer. Like, it sitting feels on, like, longer. Yeah, like, it takes me door to door at least 45 minutes to get to work, like, if I have to go into the office.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were, like, at least, that's if I, like, catch the trains in the right way. If I were to get in my car and drive 45 minutes onto Long Island, I'd be like, wow, this person lives far from me. It's just
right,
such a mindset shift.
You could be on your phone. You could be dicking around. True. It's, I don't know, not as obvious. But
you're right, though. You're right.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've had this thing, but it's funny. I've now experienced for the first time, like, running out of people being down here. Where I'm like, what's the mile radius I should start with? I said 5 miles.
Oh.
And then, like, it felt like in 15 minutes, it was like, ran out of people. I'm like, all right, 8 miles. Like, I just keep gradually doing it. But yeah, I don't know. Just curious. Like, new pool. You know, I've been swiping in New York for years.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Maybe I got psychic Dean in my head or whatever. Because he said meeting somebody. Oh, here's the other thing with that. Can I say this? Psychic Dean. It's kind of funny, though, that, like, he was saying, oh, you'll meet someone, you know, maybe around June, July. However, he also said in that session, I forgot this, of like, oh, you will be married and kids, but you won't be like the early 30s person doing that. He's like, that's going to be late 30s for you.
Oh, so the person that you meet is not necessarily.
It's not the guy.
He's just a guy. Feeling. He's just a guy.
Like, I'm like, so it sounds like this guy's not going to be the guy if there
unless
is a guy.
Unless you just date
comes.
For a really long time.
I mean, you know me. That's not me.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not. I can't. If I don't see it going the long haul, like, I don't make it that long.
Yeah.
Personally. But it was kind of funny of kind of more left the combo being like, oh, nice. Maybe I'll meet someone in June, July. And then later I was like, yeah, but you're not going to be married, bitch, for a long time. According to Dean.
Dean was like really, really wrong about almost everything he said the last time we talked. I haven't called him back since then.
All right. Well, see, there you go. That's why it's like I don't take it to heart. It's just
no, it's fine.
Interesting. Yeah. But I mean, that's it for me. I really got nothing on the dating front currently. So,
well, it just takes one, you know, as we said,
just takes one. But yeah, we got to get to our guests. And this is one of my favorite episodes we've done so far, for sure.
I'm really excited. We have Jordana Abraham and her sister, Dr. Naomi Bernstein, from the Oversharing podcast. So Jordana does You Up with Jared Fried, but she also has the Oversharing podcast with her older sister. And Dr. Naomi is a therapist. And it's like, I really love their dynamic. Like,
yeah,
not
great.
Only in the episode that we recorded, but like in their episodes that I've listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them a lot. I became a fan of their pod. And now that I'm driving a lot, I've been listening to it a lot as well. And I think they give great advice. And I said it on the episode that it might make you want to dump your therapist, honestly. I love like how Dr. Naomi does give you a little direction. You know, anytime I've been in therapy, I've been like, okay, I'm doing everything great. Why am I here? Like,
what do I do, though?
Yeah, like, not even the what do I do, but I'm like, what do you think? Do I have any patterns? Anything going wrong? And they're like, I think you're handling it great. And I'm like, then why the fuck am I paying you money if I'm handling everything so great? Anyway, so I don't get that vibe from Dr. Naomi. But yeah, I could talk to them for hours. They're so great, and I'm so excited that we got them on. So without further ado,
let's do it.
Let's get to our guests.
So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We are back with Jordana and Dr. Naomi from the Oversharing Podcast. Hi, welcome to Finding Mr. Height, the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having us. So excited to be here.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I really enjoy your show. I've actually had a friend send me a specific episode before of something I was complaining to her about.
Which one was it?
It was back like in the fall, and it was called When Will I Get My Happy Ending?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was basically about, you know, going through each relationship that you're like, okay, this one wasn't the one, and kind of seeing everybody else hit those milestones in life. And it was very helpful. So if people need one to reference, that's a good one.
And we have a question about that today. So
very common theme, I feel like. A lot of people like relate to that. I mean, and you were saying, Naomi, in your practice, like you get a lot of people who, you know, you're talking to and dealing with that sort of question, right? About like being single and wanting to like being frustrated with the process.
Totally. Or just feeling like you can't fully enjoy your life until you check that box off. It's like my life will start once I meet my person, instead of feeling like, okay, my life is happening now. That would be great. But, you know, it's very, people get tunnel vision on it and it steals their joy. So I don't know what the listener question is, but I have, you know, I deal with this all the time, like how to open up your blinders to like, I have a life until I start that next chapter. If I start that next chapter of relationship, family, the whole thing. So it feels like you're stuck in the mud until you get there, which is just, you know, it steals people's joy. So I'd love to help.
Yeah, let's dive right in. I think one of the things I really love about y'all's show is kind of that juxtaposition. I think I remember before I ever listened, I read the little intro and it was like your therapist and your BFF, or like, you know, it's like the two-pronged approach and the different perspectives that you each bring, I think is so great. So I'm excited for our listeners to hear it as well.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, you might listen to their show and want to fire your therapist, I will say. Because your show has given me more nuggets that I've like held on to, like little sayings that you said. And I was sitting there like, why hasn't my therapist said anything that stuck in my head when I left our session?
That's so great. Naomi, you should put that on your website.
Yeah, I know.
We'll make you want to fire your therapist.
Yeah.
your current therapist.
like one quick one was... something of overanalyzing the situation usually is just you wanting to control the situation. And I was like, Dr. Naomi, fucking nailing it again, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much.
Another one.
Just being aware of the dialogue that you have with yourself in your mind is half the battle, because it just runs on autopilot and we act on what we're thinking without questioning what we're thinking first. So that's helpful.
Yeah. So diving into our listener questions, you know, Erica kind of teed it up so well with that episode that she had been sent. We had a bunch of people write in about feeling hopeless about, you know, their, in the listener's words, many failed, and I'm putting it in quotes because I don't consider this a failure, but failed short-term relationships when you're looking for long-term, and mentioning that they feel like they have a scarcity mindset. Like having it feel really rare to find someone that you like who also likes you, and feeling like it keeps happening over and over again, that you think you found that person and then it ends. And our listeners have just heard in our update section that I recently ended things with somebody that I had been on more dates than I'd been on with somebody in a while. We went on 9 dates over the course of like 2 months. And so I am also asking this question.
Yes.
But yeah. So curious, you know, both of your thoughts on feeling like you're stuck in that mindset of, you know, will this loop ever end?
Yeah. Do you want to start? I have thoughts, but you can, why don't you give your professional take?
Yeah. So you have to sort of train your brain, I think, to focus on the journey instead of the destination, which sounds really great in theory, but it's hard to do. And there's actual practice that you can do, but it's almost like, you know, Jordana, you always talk about like the emotional masturbation of like, yeah, you meet someone and then you start like thinking about all the exciting things that are to come, and you just can't help doing that because you're
right,
trying to get to that outcome. But I think, you know, and I always talk about this on the show, if you can try to enjoy the process as it's happening, instead of feeling like this is what success looks like. Success looks like exclusivity, or success looks like moving in together, or engagement, or marriage, or whatever, then it's almost like anything short of that, or you're going to be constantly seeking until you get there. And then what I always talk about on the show is then when you get there, you're going to set another goalpost.
Yeah,
that's going to be the next thing. So, and you can do that until you're in the grave if you don't really train your mind to do this thing where it's like, that was a great date. I had a great time. I enjoyed that. I'd love for it to happen more. Or even the other side, which I know there's the, obviously that's not so easy, but like just riding the waves, which you're in one right now, it sounds like, perhaps. You know, Allie, I don't know if you feel like you're in that wave of like, this is disappointing, or my hopes were up and now they're down. And just trusting that, like, you can't, that wave's going to come. We can't help it. But you can kind of trust that you'll ride it through to the other side, rather than freaking out and panicking and trying to change a million things and change your dating app profile, or not date at all, or date this type of person and not that type of person, and make all these changes, instead of saying, okay, I'm okay. I'm cool. I'm just going to ride this wave and enjoy the space between the waves.
I've definitely felt that before. Yeah. I think this time I'm like, I'm doing a better job. Erica, keep me honest. But, but I think like one of the things that I did go through when I was deciding whether or not I wanted to end things over the course of the last week or so was like, oh, I'm starting that wave again. Yeah. You know, like making that decision of like, okay, yeah, we're going to go through that whole thing again, but realizing that doing that is better than continuing on this, that I know is not right ultimately. And I'm just extending or postponing that having to happen.
Totally. I mean, I remember feeling like the same way when dating and having like a 3-month thing and end and feeling just like, oh, I have to start again. Like, it sucks. And I remember my therapist saying to me, like, I actually like part of me wishes like that this works out with this guy, but part of me is kind of like hopes it doesn't, so that you can like have enough experience with enough of these 3-monthers that you like you said with the wave, you're like, doesn't work out, I know I'll survive. I survived last time. And you can go through the whole thing in a non-attached way because you feel confident that another one is coming your way. And if that doesn't work, you know there's something else. So it's kind of like the idea of like being able to work towards something without being so attached to the outcome is sort of the goal. It's much obviously easier said than done. But I think if you can get to that place where you're like, okay, like my expectations for this, what I'm doing now, are that I'm going to have fun. And if it doesn't work out, I'll have learned something else about who I'm looking for and what I'm not looking for. And so it's not like it's a waste of time. I think if the story or the narrative that you're telling yourself is like, oh, I just wasted 3 months dating this guy and didn't even go anywhere, and now I'm 3 months behind or whatever, like that's just going to be a really shitty way to go through the whole thing, as opposed to, okay, like I had a good time. I learned this guy was like always late. Now I know like I'm looking for someone who's on time next time, or so, or whatever it is that you learned or didn't learn. And then it's just a part of your life instead of being like a huge failure. And I mean, like Naomi says so many times, it's like your thoughts kind of guide the way your reality. So if your thoughts are telling you this is a disaster, I'm never going to find love, and like if this doesn't work out, nothing else will, like that will become your reality.
I was going to say, Dr. Naomi made a great point too about milestones just changing. So even when you hit that phase, like now it's just new milestones. And I actually remember seeing a clip of you, Jordana, talking about like going home from the holidays when you're single, it's like, oh, you're dating anybody. And that feels like a bummer or annoying to get those questions. But then now you're married and you're like, oh, Well, when you get engaged, all of a sudden you come home. When's the wedding? Oh, when you think about having kids. Like all these milestones still get thrown at you and all these questions still get thrown at you. And it just, the goalposts move. So I love thinking about that aspect of it too.
Yeah, keep you in check of like, if I keep training my brain to keep looking for the next thing I have to accomplish until I'm happy, then you're just training your brain to do that. Instead of like, if you're in a little phase where you're being kind of pummeled by the waves, training yourself to learn to tolerate that in a way where you can come up with like a plan for how do I handle it when I'm at the bottom of the ocean and the waves are like pummeling me. I've been here. This isn't like a shocking thing. That's like a miss, you know, this is going to keep happening to you in one way. You lose a job, you lose a person. I mean, people pass, this is going to keep happening. So it's almost like, instead of trying to prevent it from happening, learn how to deal with it when it happens.
Yeah. One of the things that I definitely took away from this most recent dating wave, if to continue our analogy, mm-hmm. is that I really liked how I felt in the early dating stages in terms of how secure I felt. And like, he never made me feel anxious about whether we're going to keep dating or whether I was going to see him or whether I was going to hear from him. And even at the time, I thought to myself, I want to hold on to this feeling. Like, even if this isn't the right situation ultimately, that I remember that I really like this feeling mm-hmm. and that I will have it again, even if this isn't the right person. And like you were saying, Jordana, like learning, oh, like that is something that I'm looking for in the next person, even if this isn't it.
Right. That's a much more positive spin than mine, which was like all the things to avoid. But you're right. Like, here's the thing that I loved about like this. I've never dated someone who, you know, made me feel like this secure this early on. Like, that felt really good. Now, when you know that, when you go into it looking for that person, you'll be able to find them, I think, faster than you were before. Like, everything, every failed search gives you a little bit more information about what you're looking for, which is why I don't think it's like the idea. I don't think the best thing in life is to marry the first person that you meet, because you wouldn't have no idea like what your taste was, because you've only been with that one person.
Totally.
One thing I think that often happens with being at the bottom of the wave for a lot of women, and I know I do this, and I've actually had it more when I was dating someone that I actually didn't think like, I'm probably going to marry this guy, right? Like, there was something about him that I was like, I don't think, you know, it's the top. But then when they didn't want me, you're sitting there thinking like, why wasn't I good enough? Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't good enough for this guy. Like, that's when it's the worst. You're like, this, you know, not to call him a loser, but a little bit, you're like, this loser, I wasn't good enough. Yes. And it makes you feel like, oh, so how am I actually going to get someone great if I wasn't able to get like this person that I actually did see a lot of flaws in a mm-hmm. weird level. And that's something it's so hard to not get in your head and feel like, oh, maybe I'm not pretty enough. Maybe I'm not successful enough. Maybe, I don't know. But I feel like that's often, right. That's where my brain goes. I think like, why didn't I get almost the offer? Like, I wanted the offer and I turned it down mm-hmm. as opposed to they ended the whole thing.
I love that you brought that up, because I do think that's really what underlies not all of it, but a lot of the pain of breakups is this idea of like the rejection. If this person doesn't want me, then I must not be worthy, or I'll never find someone who wants me. And that's just like a thinking error, or thinking error that's possibly caused by childhood wounds or self-esteem issues from, you know, whatever may have happened to you in your past. But if you can just notice it when it's happening and catch it sooner before it turns into like an ingrained pattern, and kind of realize, okay, this is a thought that I'm having, I don't have to really give it that much weight, because I know I'm X, Y, Z, and I don't need another person to choose me in order to believe that about myself, because there's a million reasons why you're not a match. I'm sure there's been a bunch of guys that have been great guys that a lot of other women would be interested in, that you've been like, this is just not a match for me for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think just catching that thought error, and so many women have that, where it's not really about the loss of the relationship. It's about the way it makes you feel about yourself. Which is so true.
And that's a lot of power to give someone, to like put your whole self-esteem, like into like what they think of you, which I mean, we've all done. I think I've done, and I think we still do. It's like kind of that's sort of the essence of caring what other people think, which I think a little bit of that is healthy. But then when it's like too much, then it's like ruining your whole, I think the goal is to get these things to like ruin as little of your time as possible.
Yes.
Because like, obviously if someone ends something with you after like 3 months, or even if someone doesn't ask you on a second date, like it always like stings. I don't think the goal is to like never have it hurt, but I think the goal is to just have it hurt in a commensurate amount of time with like what feels like healthy. So like if someone breaks up with you after a 3 month thing, fine, like you have a bad week, but then next week you're okay.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to get there, but.
When I was first working through my, like a lot of anxious attachment and, you know, my dad was really sick for a long time and eventually passed away. And like, I was like working through a lot of that. And this was before he passed away, but a therapist at the time actually had me change the guys that I was going on dates with names in my phone to things like, dude, I've met once. Or like guy I've known for 3 weeks,
right? Yeah.
And like it was silly, but it like it really helped me reframe that, because every time they texted me, it would remind my brain like, oh yeah, this is a near stranger,
right?
That you're my like attaching self-worth. So much importance.
We don't have to be devastated, right? If you know, there's like a small rejection, and right. I also was an anxious dater, so I felt like the same way, although. You know, I tried I definitely tried some of those labels, mostly with the guys that I was dating for a long time that were not dating me. It was like, I think I changed it to like, do not answer. He is bad for you.
but this guy sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But then once I started talking to him, I just changed it back to his name.
You just get immune to the, you know.
That was a former version of me. Yeah.
I was once given kind of the opposite advice of a guy I was dating. They said, put a heart next to his name in your phone. So when you get mad, it stops you a second to be like, you love this person.
I like him.
And oh,
put it through a nice filter.
Right. That's nice.
Okay. Our next question here is called Approaching Conversations About Getting Engaged. All right. A little long, so bear with me. How can I let my boyfriend know I'm interested in marriage? For background, I am divorced, 31-year-old female, who was married in my early 20s for a few years. I have no kids. My boyfriend is 33 and has never been married and also has no kids. We've been together for 2.5 years. He sold his house last year and moved in with me, and it's going very well. This is honestly the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. Side note, both our careers are going well. And I say that since I know a lot of times men want to be stable in their careers before furthering the relationship. The only problem is that early in our relationship, I think I gave the wrong impression that I was either never interested in getting married again or would be very hesitant. We've since talked more about marriage eventually, but I'm terrified to ask what his timeline is. How do I go about asking his goals without sounding presumptuous or needy? His younger brother got married last year, and most of his friends are now engaged or married. I know he wants to marry me someday, but I'm to the point where I would like to chat more concretely about timeline. I guess my fear is that I'll scare him off. Additionally, I told him on our second date that I never wanted children, and I've stuck to that. He said he was fine with that. Internally now, though, I am second-guessing that decision of mine as well. So also, I should ask, is it appropriate to tell him that I may want children someday, or should I wait till I flesh those feelings out? I know he is open to children based on previous conversations. Thank you so much for your advice. Okay, so this feels like two halves of the engagement convo. It's talking about kids. She might have changed her mind on kids. So,
yeah, I definitely think this is on her to bring up. Like, I have the feeling that he's just left it alone because of how she set the tone in the beginning. And they live together. I don't think he's going to be shocked to think that there might be another stage in their relationship and she's ready to talk about it. So if she's listening to this, I think he probably feels it coming. Maybe not the kids part, because he wouldn't think that you changed your mind about that, but I'm sure he won't be completely shocked about that either. So I think he probably knows this is coming, and he might even feel some relief in having a conversation, because he might be thinking, what's next. I don't want to scare her away. She's made it very clear that she's not interested in these things.
Totally agree with that. I think it would be the weird person in the scenario would be if he was totally shocked. He was like, well, this is coming out of nowhere for my girlfriend that lives with me and is, you know, in her 30s and has been married before.
House for her. He sold her house for her. Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that would be very weird, but I totally understand the fear because, I mean, anything in a relationship, I think when you're unsure of where you stand is just scary. Because if you don't ask, and I think the reason people don't ask the questions, even the question of, are we exclusive? I want to date you. I want to do anything is because sometimes you're kind of like, if the answer is bad, I might rather not know, because if the answer is bad, then I'm going to have to make a decision to leave. Mm. And this feels good and exciting. So I'd almost rather live in like this, you know, uncertain area so that I don't have to make a move if it's not the answer that I want to hear.
Yeah, that's the whole theory on the three-monther thing. Like, I think that's why that comes to head at that time, because you finally work up the courage to say like, okay, I'm going to be willing to let this end if it has to end. And sometimes it does, you know, and you're not bringing it up, like you said, because you're afraid of that. But I think, like you were saying earlier, the worst thing is to just kind of hang on in something that you can't feel comfortable communicating, or you have to be walking on eggshells in order to maintain. So, but it's not easy.
It's very hard. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I almost think that like if he does freak out, that she brings up a, you know, a more concrete timeline for marriage. That's something I feel like she would want. She should know.
Mm-hmm. That's very valuable information.
If that's going to worry him. Yeah, that is really valuable information.
And I get why she doesn't want to be like because it can also kind of feel like a little random. Like even again, do you see this turning into a relationship can feel kind of random. Do you see us getting engaged can feel kind of random. But I think that like, if you're not someone who's super comfortable having these conversations, and I wasn't, I remember one thing that was suggested to me by my therapist that worked really well to sort of have like an ease into it is, you know, how long do you think a couple should be dating before they get engaged? Like, what is just asking them about relationships and how they see them generally, even if you wanted to like remove yourself from the equation, like how long do you think it takes to make that kind of decision? Like, did you want a long engagement or a short engagement when you would get married? Do you
if
want
and
kids?
When you
yes.
would.
If and when.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
Maybe like not make the side comment, like those side comments where you're like, man, Jeff and Ariel have been living together 6 years, still not engaged. What do you think about that?
What do you think?
What do you think? I remember when I was dating my husband at the, back when we were dating, I had a friend who like moved in with her boyfriend after a year. And I was like, oh, like, ex moved in with her boyfriend after like they've been only been he's like, oh wow, that's really fast, like that's and I was like, okay, that's a good clue that this is that proposal is not coming for me in the immediacy. But like I think if you can be more direct, then you have like a real conversation. And again, I think that they're at the point in their lives where it wouldn't be shocking to hear that. And if it was, like you said, very good thing to know sooner rather than later.
Do you think it'd be bad to almost do a vague question of like, hey, I've been looking at, I don't know, let's say finances or something, and be like, what's your 5-year plan in general? Like, where do you see us in 5 years? What do you see yourself doing in 5 years? And kind of being open-ended of like, do you see yourself getting married? Do you see yourself having kids without like, I guess being the first to say those words? I'm not sure. How do you feel about like a vague question like that to start it off?
My thought is, I think it would be good to practice being a little bit more straightforward about what she wants and how she feels. Because like you said, communication is so important to be able to say like, this is what I've been thinking about lately. And I know, like, I get what you're saying where just, you know, you're sitting at dinner and all of a sudden you're like, so I've been thinking, it feels like
I'd like to get married.
Like what? We just heated up dinner.
You know what I recommend to people actually a lot is like even this. Like I was listening to this podcast today and this person said this. You know, they were, you know, and it made me think about like our relationship. That might be an opener that it can be totally random, but it's also like this is what led me to this thought and that's why I'm bringing it up. So I hear what you're saying, that kind of just being like, so how do you see your future in general? But then if he like dances around it or doesn't go there or whatever. And I do think it's good practice for her. I do think this is something that they need to be able to talk about this before they can even go there too. Like that's the other piece is it seems like there is a little bit of a break in communication. I think a lot of, I'll validate a lot of people feel this way, but there's a little bit of a red flag that she's so anxious to approach this with him. And this might be a good first step for the two of them to start to have these conversations that they really create intimacy when you talk to the person you're in relationship with about your relationship. That creates a lot of intimacy and that creates a lot of like deep emotional connection that I think you would need before you would take that next step towards engagement or having a child together.
Yeah. Cause part of me is thinking if you do go into it a little bit more vague like that, if he doesn't pick up what you're putting down and takes it in a totally different direction, not because he's avoiding it on purpose, but just because he doesn't understand that that's what mm-hmm. you're asking. To me, that would then make me spiral more.
Right.
To say like, oh, well, he didn't bring up marriage. He must not be thinking about it. Meanwhile, in his mind, like that wasn't what you were asking.
Agree. Right. It kind of can feel like a little bit of a test. Like you're testing them to see if they give you these. And I think this this is like a huge relationship issue when people do this. And I've done it before. So I can say that from experience is that sometimes when you ask a question and you have an answer in your head, and if the person doesn't answer the way that you expect them to ask, then you kind of like spiral and freak out and cause a bigger issue than if you would just ask the question that you actually wanted to ask directly. Even if you ask the question that you wanted to ask directly and in your mind, there's only one acceptable answer,
you're
bound to be disappointed. So if she says, you know, I've been thinking of, let's say she was really straightforward. I've been thinking of getting engaged. And you know, I see this for us within the next year. Like, what do you see for us? And if she's like, the only answer that is like the answer that I'm going to be okay with is that he says, oh, me too. Like I had that exact same thought. Mm-hmm. Then she's setting herself up to be really disappointed and just like for it to be a bad situation. Cause I think it's rare for two people to be on the exact same page about the exact same situation. So she has to be okay going into it thinking, okay, maybe this is something he hasn't even thought about before. He might say, I don't know, let me think about it. Or he might say, you know, I feel like I want to be dating a person for a lot longer than that. So like, I think if she goes into it with the expectation that he might not be thinking the exact same thing as her, but that doesn't mean that it's over or that it's a disaster, she's going to have a much easier time handling or having that conversation. And she'll come off a lot more like grounded and normal instead of, because sometimes we have the tendency to get really upset if things don't go the exact way we pictured them.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's a great point. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. As a great point is that to accept that he, because she's laid the groundwork, that she's not really interested in that, that he may not have even been thinking about that. And when she brings it up, he might need to say, it's a big question. It's not like, do you want chicken or fish? It's like, you know, a long-term thing that he might need to be like, oh, I didn't know you were interested in that. Like, I do need to give it some thought. And you know, kind of being prepared, like you're saying, that it might not be the exact answer that she's looking for. And he might need to start, you know, from scratch and thinking like, oh, I had no idea you felt that way. And this is probably going to be a series of conversations that they need to have if he's figuring it out. Like if she wants kids, if she's thinking of kids now, like, I don't think this is going to be a one and done, but again, I think they need to start talking about this. So I'm glad she's writing in and like looking to do this because this isn't something that you can avoid. Intimacy comes from like sharing your innermost thoughts specifically about the person that you're having them about. So
I was going to say, call me crazy. If this was me, I think I'd actually bring up the kids part first because then I almost feel like it justifies me then being like, so when will we be engaged? When will we be married? Especially being she's 31, I'm 32. And like, now I'm at the age I've gone to a fertility doctor. I've looked into freezing my eggs. Like it's normal to say, oh, okay. You know, I kind of am debating my decision. And if I do decide yes, like, okay, now I do have more of a timeline that unfortunately is just Mother Nature because he might be sitting there being like, oh, well, she doesn't want to have kids. So there's no rush on the marriage thing.
Yeah. That's a good point. Cause if he's in the mindset that like, she definitely doesn't want kids, then that's not even a consideration factor for him.
Right. Then he sees the benefits of marriage to be less also. if he's under the impression she doesn't want that. So that's a really good point.
So we had a couple people write in about feeling like their dates are either 0 or 100. And so this particular listener says, so she's been, just as a little bit of background, she went through a really bad breakup about a year ago and has started dating more recently. And she says, for dates I'm not all that jazzed about, where the conversation isn't flowing or I'm not all that attracted, I feel like I disassociate in a way. Like, I kind of stop investing when we're on the date. I don't really care if they text me or ask me out again. I've tried to go on second dates a couple times to see if it grows, but for me, it feels like it never does. Then on the flip side, for dates that I do enjoy, I have so much fun. I'm really, really hard on myself then. Extra worrying, are they going to text? Overanalyzing everything I did or said. And then she says, I really wish I could carry the easygoing attitude on dates I don't end up liking into the ones I do, but I feel like I put so much pressure on something to work out in my head. Then she goes, in my head, I'm usually very casual texting the person. Mm-hmm. So just generally, I think people feel that kind of haves and have nots with dates, where something's either like terrible and you don't give a shit what happens, or you feel like, oh my God, that was so amazing, and what if it doesn't work out? Mm-hmm. And you know, how do we kind of bring those things into the middle?
I mean, my first thought is that scarcity mindset that you were talking about before, where it's like, oh gosh, I actually feel a connection. What if this never happens again? And then just kind of having that memory of like, oh yeah, I felt like this like 3 months ago, and I felt like this 2 months before that. And I have felt this before, and yes, I'd like this to work out, but also this isn't the only time I'm going to feel this way. And I do think there's something worth examining, which is like, how is, like you talked about, thinking back to the beginning of your relationship and like the feelings that you had that made you feel really good. Like, I want that mm-hmm. feeling. So I do think that there's something to be said for like how this person is communicating with you and how it's making you feel. So if, yes, he might be super cute and funny and charming and all the things, but like, if you're feeling insecure for a long period of time in the beginning of the relationship, I'm not saying she's owning it, and she probably, you know, she's saying like, I'm the problem, and she might be a large part of the problem, but there also might be this part of it that's like, if he's not making her feel secure, there might be something there about that as well. Like, if she went out on a great date and she did hear from the guy the next day or the day after, and he was like, had a great time, love to do it again, she might not be feeling all like anxious and whatever. So I think it is a two-way street. Like, if how she's feeling, a lot of times when people really like someone, all of a sudden the power goes into that person's hands, and it's like, mm-hmm. I want you. I want to make sure you want me back, versus I want you, but I also am still in an evaluation stage just because I was interested in you on date one. Like, I think there's a lot of information to be gained from how that person interacts between date one and date two. It's not just like, you were cute and you were funny, and so I like you, and all I care about is that you like me back. You were cute and you were funny, I like you, but like, did you wait 4 days to text me? Because that's annoying. And I don't know that's like great, you know, and what was the point of that? And maybe that allowing you to lose a little bit of interest in that person and saying, yeah, like, this might not be something that I kind of want to deal with. I want someone who's excited about me also.
I think that's a great point. I think that, like, I would say this a lot on You Up, but I felt like I had friends when I was dating that always seemed to be in a relationship, just like constantly. And it wasn't necessarily like, oh, they were so much prettier than those of us who like were never in relationships, or they were so much like had such better personalities. I think the difference was that like when someone they were dating was doing something like not texting them frequently, or, you know, being flaky or not really like responsive to them, they were turned off by that, instead of being like, if you're an anxious dater, like I was, like more intrigued, like, oh, now I feel like this anxiety and it makes me more drawn to you. I feel like someone who was like a securely attached would see that behavior and be like, oh, I'm no longer interested, instead of like, how do I get this person to be interested in me? And so it's very hard to get there. And I think, like you said, like sometimes you might see that person who is responsive, that is really nice to you or really into you after the date, and be like, oh, this feels like kind of boring, because you don't get that like feeling of scarcity or that feeling of, you know, now this is like a prize I need to chase. And so it's kind of getting over that mental hump of like, someone can be like, you can be in a great relationship, and just because someone is like nice to you and responsive doesn't mean that that's a boring person.
Yeah, it's a very like timely point that you make, because Eric and I were just talking about this with the we give the guys we date nicknames. This guy is called the publicist. With the publicist, something that I was talking about was, in the last couple of weeks prior to me ending things, he had been more distant via text message in a way that was very different than when we had first started dating. And I said, in my 20s and even more recently, I would have seen that it would have activated my anxious attachment. And I would have seen that as, oh, I got to try harder. Like, I got to, you know, lock this guy down because he's, you know, being squirrely. And now I'm like, oh, that's a turnoff. Mm-hmm. Like, this doesn't feel good. And I don't like someone who doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah. I feel like once you get to that place, the real thing is like just around the corner. I remember feeling that like when dating right before I met my now husband, just feeling like I was no longer as excited by people who were canceling on me last minute or that kind of thing.
How hot. Yeah. And it sounds so silly when you say it that way. You're like, man, I finally don't like people that treat me poorly. I'm like, but no, but it's real. Yeah. It's real. Yeah.
I think it's similar to how everybody will say, oh, the bar is low, especially like for men, the bar is low. And I think of my friends that were always in relationships. And one of them recently actually said to me, she was like, we were talking about dating, and she just goes, you know, Erica, I just love being loved. And then I honestly, for the first time, experienced dating a guy that I was like, wow, this guy actually really loves me and cares for me. And I was like, oh, that's why she never put up with the bullshit stuff, was because just earlier in her life, she got to experience that. And it was like the bar got raised. The bar immediately got raised. And then any dude after that, she was like, no, you're clearly not into me. You're not doing XYZ like all these other guys used to do for me. And I almost equate it to like sex. Like when you first start having sex, it's not that great. And then suddenly you have sex with someone where it is, and you go, oh, that other sex was trash.
Oh, that's
trash.
What it's supposed to feel like. Right.
Yeah, you know, totally. Like you're like, my bar now to be like, sex was good is much higher than when I was 22, you know, and didn't know anything.
Well, I guess that's why they say like in attachment theory that it's all about kind of like the affection that you got at such an early age, which sort of set the bar for what your expectations are for how you were treated. Because if you're kind of like used to a world in which you're treated really respectfully and nicely and like really attended to, then that's what that feels like. That feels comfortable in a relationship. But if you're treated kind of like sporadically, or you're not, you know, it doesn't feel, your worth isn't like really instilled in you, then I feel like then you're kind of like, well, this feels actually more like home. Like it feels more like home to be, you know, not texted back for 10 hours or something.
Right.
Or more exciting, like we said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think a big piece of it, and it's like the cheesy advice that everyone always gives, which is like, you can't love someone else until you love yourself. But I do think a lot of it comes back to this idea that like, if you're looking to boost your ego by someone else loving you, not like I love being loved, like your friend saying, that's like, I love the feeling of being loved, but not like I love myself. I can love myself when I'm loved. I do think a lot of people probably aren't really ready to date in a healthy way if you're looking to feel better about yourself by having a guy who is 6'2" and makes a lot of money and XYZ likes you, and now you can feel good about yourself. yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if anything, I've personally had the frustration of feeling like I am great. I'm like, every year I'm working on myself. I'm getting better. I'm getting more successful. Like, and honestly, for me, a lot of times I have this frustration where I go, I am great. And how come someone else doesn't see that yet? Like, why does it seem to be happening for everybody else around me who is also great?
Right.
But sometimes that can feel frustrating. Like, how long do I have to work on myself? Like, I've read every fucking book and I'm over it, you know?
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Erica, I think it's sort of like it's not that you're going to get the prize because you're doing the work. It's because you're going to be able to be more intentional about the process and be more caretaking of yourself throughout the process, and possibly not seek out people that you're, that are only there to make you feel good about yourself. Like, you're already feeling good. You can get rid of the guy after three dates that, you know, maybe doesn't pay for the first date, if that's something that's important for, to you, or doesn't, you know, text you or give you compliments or say nice things or make you feel good about yourself, that you're not just like trying to feel good about yourself by getting him to commit or getting him to whatever it is. The work that you're doing is more about how it's making you feel throughout the process than it is about how the outcome of like, I'm going to get the guy if I do this work. It's like, I'm going to feel good throughout this process by doing this work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And paying for the date is one of my things. So you read me right, Doc. You nailed it.
So playing off of what you were saying, Dr. Naomi, about like things that, you know, you might not like early on in a date, or, you know, the somebody who cancels on you last minute, et cetera. We got a listener writing in about what cues we should or shouldn't listen to in early dating. And so she gives a specific example. So she says, I was just on a first date from Bumble where the man made a joke where the punchline was something like, when I realized the gun you gave me to kill my wife as a CIA test was full of blanks, I had to choke her. I don't really know what that joke was. This is me. This is Allie inserting myself. Sounds like a terrible joke, but regardless of the joke, she says, I don't plan to see this man again. And I told him in the moment, I don't find it funny to joke about violence against women. But I find myself wondering, do I read too much into situations like this? Maybe it was bad judgment from a decent guy, but to me, it felt like a man projecting his okayness with domestic violence. So it got me thinking about the larger issue of, should we be listening to these cues in early dating? What do we brush off or try to work through? And what should actually be a deal breaker right away?
Love this question. I have a thought on it. I always say, and I think everyone always hears, like, communication is the most important part of a relationship, et cetera, et cetera. And I think there's no time that's too soon for you to jump right into some kind of like deep conversation about whatever it is. And I think that in that, instead of just swallowing that, kind of making a face, going home, texting all your friends, telling them what he said, trying to figure out what it means, and then deciding whether or not you want to go on a second date, ignore it and see if it happens again, which is an option. It's not the worst option. But another option is just to open up a dialogue right then and there, or even on the second date, if you choose to have one, and say, like, I'm super attracted to you. I had a great time on our first date. That joke that you made was kind of off-putting, and I just wanted to like open up a dialogue about like how you feel about this, or like what your thoughts are. And then if you're into deep conversation, obviously I'm a therapist. I love doing that type of thing. So that's something that would be, if I was dating, like a turn on to me, is to be able to like have a real conversation. It's almost a precursor to talking about like how I feel about you and how you feel about me. It's like, how do we feel about this mutual interaction that we had? It's like a step below how we feel about each other is how we feel about a moment that we had together. So I think that would be a great test to see, can he handle a confrontation? Can he handle a conversation, and give him an opportunity to discuss it? Same thing where like, if you have a date and the guy doesn't text you for 4 days, I don't think it's crazy to say, like, when you go on the next date, I really like to be in touch with someone that I'm building a connection with, and that, you know, makes me feel closer. And that's something that I like and that I look for, and put it out there. And if he's like, yeah, that's not my thing, then, you know, or if his answer is feels unsatisfying to you, then you also know.
That's great advice. I have nothing to add. I didn't think of that. That's great. Yeah.
Well,
I think that makes a lot of sense. And sorry, go ahead, Eric.
Well, I was going to say, from, I guess, the comedian on jokes, especially, interesting that, you know, she was like, I don't like this joke. I think it's projecting domestic violence. And me reading the scenario, and I don't know if it's my comedic lens, but I more just sit there and go, well, it just sounds like you don't have the same sense of humor, like, without looking so deeply into it, because I've had the same thing with like a guy that makes a corny joke or a pun. And I'm like, I'm not a pun person, and I don't find this funny. But I don't sit there and go, like, I don't know. I don't think of it.
When you made that pun, it made me feel like you were like a loser.
or whatever. Right. So, I mean, like off the gate, I was like, yeah, this sounds like you probably don't have the same sense of humor. And I would more chalk it up to that as opposed to like the deepness of it. But I get what she's saying of, it's almost like, you know, people talk about the ick, right? And
right.
I'm kind of someone that's like, I feel like the ick is for 24-year-olds. I'm like, I feel like that's a very young thing. And I think sometimes it comes from feeling like you have all the options in the world. And as you get older, you're like, all right, obviously everybody has icks about them. And it's mm-hmm. like, are the big things, you know, the real deeper deal breakers are like the more important yeah. things in a way, you know?
Well, that was my only thought on like why, if you didn't want to say anything, because sometimes it's like when you, the fewer interactions you have with someone, the bigger part you assume they're part of their personality, right?
Yes.
Whereas it could just yeah. be like a bad joke. Like if someone is late to your first date, it's a really bad look because they don't have any other situations for which you to say, oh, this person, this is like a rare thing. If someone is late on your 12th date, then like it's not as big of a it's not a big of a deal. They've already built up that thing. So sometimes like if someone like love, let's say their favorite movie is like really terrible, or
yeah.
they tell a bad joke, like I would see if it's a, I would bank that, I would remember it, but I might see if, unless it was again something that was really, really important to me, I might see if it's a pattern before making any full decisions, rather than you have limited interactions with this person, we're all entitled to a bad joke here and there, and like see, you know, see how it goes.
Yeah, it's, like, it's reminding me of a really bad date I went on recently with a guy that Erica and I now refer to as Gone with the Wind. So we're no longer
he was
dating,
gone very quickly.
He was gone real quickly. He made a pretty off-color joke about like, I play volleyball. He made a pretty off-color joke about like volleyball uniforms. We were still waiting for our table. Like it was so early into our first date. And I kind of, I leveraged the advice that I hadn't gotten from you at Dr. Naomi, which was like having that conversation and saying like, hey, when, you know, what do you mean by that? Cause that, you know, that it doesn't, it's not hitting me in the way I think you wanted it to. And I didn't, it wasn't a deal breaker in that moment. But then I, like you said, Georgiana, I clocked it. I had it in the back of my head. He continued to make similar comments throughout the evening.
About volleyball like, players?
No, gymnastic.
Oh, okay. I was like, this guy has a really big volleyball
fetish. Real big volleyball fetish. Yeah. No, just like continued type of humor that was, in my opinion, misogynistic, but right. like just didn't jive with my values and who I am. And so then throughout the date, I was able to realize, okay, that wasn't just one nervous bad joke. This mm-hmm. is like this person's frame of reference and like this person's thought process. And
yeah.
I don't
or
like
you're
that.
Like, read the room, dude. Like well, right. yeah, the first one didn't land. Like they're going to make
said
another
no. yeah.
sexual right. joke. Like, cause sometimes it's just that it's like, just read the vibe, because I do have sympathy for men a little bit of like, every man hears women want a guy with a sense of humor, and they read that as they want a guy who's funny. So usually on a date, some people get in their head of like trying to be funny and trying mm-hmm. to be fun and make this a fun time. Cause like for men, one of the most rewarding things is like making a woman laugh. So I try to have a little sympathy with these things where it's like, yeah, they're kind of panicking a little on that front sometimes, if they especially don't have the confidence of like, I am really funny and people tell me I'm funny. You know, so like with Allie, I was like, eh, I get the first one. I'm like, I let the first one slide. Like he's trying to be funny. He's trying to be, I don't know if you watch The Office, but it's like date Mike versus regular Mike, you know, like suddenly they go, you're on a date mode, funny mode. And mm-hmm. sometimes that makes them tank a little bit. So there's also that aspect I always think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think that if you're interested in all other fronts and it was like one comment, I do think it makes sense to give him another try. Like you said, and everyone's sense of humor is different. Like some people are not sensitive to things like that and it doesn't bother them. And you, like you said, you might have the same sense of humor and not be offended by the same things or offended by the same things or not, you know. So I, for this listener, I think you can, there's no harm in giving it another shot. And you can leave a date at any time. You can leave a relationship at any time. So if you're on the fence, I think it doesn't hurt to, you know, give it another try and see where it lands.
Yes. Unless like you said, it becomes like a pattern and then you're like, okay, this is clearly a larger part of your personality.
Right. And I think also if you want to make it a deal breaker, like if that is really important to her and it's like, I wouldn't want to spend any more time with anybody who would make a joke like that. Like that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this has been really awesome. I really enjoyed talking to you guys.
Fun.
Thank you so much for coming on.
This was great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I love these listener questions. These are great. So thanks for inviting us on. Really nice to meet you guys.
Yeah. And you guys can find their podcast, Oversharing, wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'm sure a bunch of our listeners already also listened to You Up, which has Jordana and Jared Fried. So yeah. Thank you guys. This was so great. And yeah, so excited we got both of you same time.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Talk to you next week.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.